Megillah Daf Gimel Mebeis Tosef Maschil Krach Shein Bo Yud Batlanim Nidon Kikfar. To review the Gemara's context here, we have a statement on the third white line of the Gemara by Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, the Krach Shein Bo Asara Batlanim Nidon Kikfar. Simply speaking, the word Krach, as the Tosef is going to address, means a walled city. Literally, it's a metropolis, but the way the Gemara typically uses it, it means a walled city. It doesn't have 10 batlonin, which Rashi defines people who are always available, they're not employed, so they're always available for a minyan. So nidon kikfar, if it doesn't have 10 such people, so it's considered like a small little hamlet, a small town, which the Mishnah points out, are makdim liyam haknisa, so they're able to read the Megillah earlier. Not necessarily on the 15th and the 14th, they back up to the nearest Monday or Thursday. So the Gemara had asked, "My kamashbalan tanina." It's already a Mishnah later. Mishnah, I think, on Daf Hey. So there the Mishnah states explicitly that Ezohi Ir Gedola was considered a big city that reads on Yudalid. Kol Sheyesh Basar Batlanin. Again, it has to have 10 people who are available for a minyan. Pachs mikana reza kvar. So the Mishnah already taught it concerning an unwalled city. So why does Rabbi Shoven Levi have to teach you the same thing? So the Gemara explains that Rabbi Shoven Levi wasn't dealing with an ear, he was dealing with a krach. Again, on a simple level, it's talking about a walled city. And the Gemara says, krach itzdrichle, it's talking about a walled city. Avagav to mikra lemi alma. That even though a walled city, which, again, Tos is going to explain, we're not dealing with a walled city necessarily. But for the moment, we'll assume that. So a walled city is typically a major metropolis. That's certainly the minimal definition of a krach. And it has many, many visitors that come into that city. So you might have thought that even if you don't have asara batlanin, people who are off from work and they're always constantly able to make a minyan, that you'll have the goings-on of a major city of having a minyan all the time because there'll be visitors. So if... the regulars are not there, so you'll have visitors who will fill in the minyan. So you might have thought that also satisfies the criteria for a Asara Batlanin concerning a krach, even though you don't actually have 10 locals who are batel from Malacha. So that's the chiddush of Shulchan Levi, that even a krach requires it. So according to this, after all the smoke clears, so the Mishnah requires a Asara Batlanin for an ear, for an unwalled city, and Rav Shoven Levi is requiring it even for a krach, a major metropolis, again, simply speaking, dealing with a walled city. So Tosis comes to negate that simple reading of the Gemara, and he explains his logic as to why he does not think that that's true. So the Tosis reads as follows. Again, the maskel krach shein bo yud batlanin nidon kikfar. Tzorach lomar, one has to say, the mairi bistam krachim hamurim b'talmud, that the word krach here does not have the specific meaning of krach, which is used in Megillah, that's referring to a walled city from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. But here it's referring to a regular krach, hamur and betalmud, a major metropolis. Again, simply speaking, even without a wall, as long as it's a major, major, very big city. Not a regular ir gedola, but gedola ma'od. Aval hamukav chom ha'mimosi Yeshua ben Nun. But if you have the krach of the Megillah, that it's walled from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, as Gemara is going to say later, if the wall is not currently there, but had a wall, afilo ein bo yud batlanim, even if it doesn't have those 10 people who are available for a minyan all the time, karim b'tesvav, they still read on tesvav. The Ran, the Ben Nisim on the Rif, who presents this view of Tisus, suggests to Svara that since the miracle happened in Shushan, the walled city, so, and also, an elaboration on why they ordained the Yeshua ben Nun, because they wanted to give cover to Eretz Yisrael. So those kinds of cities that had walls around it, so maybe they took away the need for Yud Batlanim. That might be the Svara of Tosis. But what's his source? Where did he get it from? The simple reading of Gemara, as we said, is that Yeshua ben Levi is exactly saying not that way, that a krach is the walled city from days of Yeshua ben Nun, and you still need Yud Batlanim. So that's what Tosis proves his point as follows. And so too is implied, the parach besamach, since it asks nearby, we read that through in our introduction, my kamashmalan, what do you need Rav Shoven Levi to teach you this? What is he teaching you? That a krach requires your batlanim, tanina, it's already in a Mishnah, ezo yir gedola, chulei, what's considered a regular big city that reads on your dalet and requires your batlanin? So why should it be any different for a krach? So the Gemara says a mishani and answers krach it's truchle. It has to teach you there's something unique about a krach. Avagav the mikla lemi alma. Even though mikla they visit from the outside the city and they would have been able to make up dominion theoretically, but we're worried that it might not be there. So within that give and take of the Gemara. So the Gemara focused on the fact that they have visitors from afar. In other words, that minimally we're dealing with a major metropolis that, like the Big Apple in New York City, everyone's coming to it. The Isa, and if it's true, im yesh, the afilu b'muk of choma, b'mos Yoshua ben Nun sarach yibatlonin. If you're going to take the Gemara at the face value, on the surface, that even the real walled city of the days of Yeshua ben Nun, you still need 10 people. Havel lemeimer mukaf mimos Yoshua etzrich alei. So when the Gemara was trying to present the Chiddush of Yeshua ben Levi, it should not have just said that the Chiddush is that even though it's a major metropolis and you're going to have your minion anyway from the outsider, presumably, so that's the Chiddush. That, no, you still need 10 locals. It should have said a greater Chiddush. That even though it's a walled city from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, avagav techoshev choma didhu, that even though its wall is very significant, their wall is significant, sheginum and oivim, because they protect them from the enemies. Tosis presumably is getting that idea from a Gemara later concerning Tveria, that's going to come up in a subsequent Tosis. But on a simple level, maybe tying into the Nes of Purim, that they have their own holiday on the 15th, even though they were somewhat protected from their enemies, but nonetheless, they still have to have a holiday demonstrating that it was because of Hashem's salvation that they were saved. V'gam mikli lemi alma, that the wall protects them from the enemies, and they also have visitors. In other words, there are two good reasons, considering a real krach of Megillah fame, a walled city of Deir Yeshua ben Nun, there would have been two good reasons to not require 10. What were the two good reasons? Number one, that it has a real wall around it to protect from the enemies, so somehow that's more connected to the celebration of Purim. And number two, that you might have your minion anyway from the outsiders. It's the Havi Ravus Etvei. That's a greater Chiddush. That Rabbi Shuv Malevi is saying that even in that case, a real krach, that you require Yud Batlonin and you can't rely on the wall that protect from the enemies to omit the requirement of 10, and you can't rely on the outsiders to omit the requirement of 10. It would have been a greater Chiddush. What did the Gemara say? Only one of those ideas, the visitors. So it sounds like that's not focusing on the fact that it was walls from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. The fact that it does not focus on the Chiddush being also the fact that it was walls from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and nonetheless you require 10, Ela Shema Mina, this implies the Vemukha Fimos Yeshua Lo Tzarech Yud. That's not what Shimon Levi is addressing. That if it's indeed encircled in Deis Yishuv Benun, you don't actually require 10, and that's why the Gemara did not bring that point up in the presenting what the Chiddush of Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi is. It only focuses on the fact that visitors on the outside, meaning that Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi, by saying the word krach, is just talking about a major metropolis. We're dealing with the real McCoy, if you will, the real walled city in the days of Yishuv Benun, even though it doesn't have a wall now, as the Gemara says later, you don't need Yud. So there's indeed different opinions in the Rishonim as to whether we pass on like tistosis or we don't pass on like tistosis. Megillah Daf Gimel Beis Tosis Tiri Maschel Krach Shiyoshev L'Basof Hukaf Nidon Kikfar. So this is somewhat of a more lengthy tosis. Before we begin, just to map out briefly the parts of what the tosis is trying to do. Tosis is first going to quote Rashi's Pshat on this Gemara. He's going to bring a proof to Rashi's Pshat. And then he's going to ask two questions on Rashi's Pshat. And therefore, it's going to lead him to present his own understanding of the Gemara, different from Rashi. So we'll call that parts one and two. He presents Rashi's Pshat, brings a proof to it, asks a kasha, two kashas on Rashi's Pshat, and then gives his own Pshat. Then we have part three, where he attacks his own understanding, and he resolves that kasha on his own understanding. Then we have part four. Part four is where he raises a difficulty where there seems to be a superfluousness between the drasha of Shimon Levi concerning Hukaf L'Bisof Yoshav and another Gemara. That's part four. And then the part five, which is just the one line at the end, is framing our case, whether the idea of Hukaf L'Bisof Yoshav Hukaf is dealing where there are 10 batlanim in the city or there aren't 10 batlanim in the city. To briefly review the context of the Gemara quoted a series of statements of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So this statement runs as follows, that if you have a walled city that is first settled when it's in an unwalled state, and only then is it walled, it's called Yoshav L'Bisof Hukaf, so that is considered like a kfar. Simply, it's not considered like a walled city. Simply speaking, it's considered not only like, not even like an unwalled city, it's considered like a small town, a kfar. My taima, the Gemara asked, how come that's true, that you need the wall to go up first before the city is populated? If it's populated first, then the wall goes up, it's not considered like a walled city. So Gemara quotes a pasuk concerning the unique halachos concerning a walled city having nothing to do with Megillah. Pasuk in Parshas Bechukosai, Behar, excuse me, Behar, Ve'ish ki yimkor beis moshav ir chomah, the Gemara said. So if a person sells a home in a walled city, so the halacha there is that he only has a year, the seller only has a year to purchase it back. After the year, the buyer doesn't sell it back to him. The halacha only applies during Yovel. So since it says base Moshav Ir Choma, right, the Ran explains it's based on the Patach rather than the Kamatz and the word Moshav. It's a Samach form. It means it's a house that is a dwelling inside an Ir Choma that already has a wall. So it sounds like that the Moshav was of a walled area before it became a Moshav, before it became a city, the wall went up first. Okay, so what Tosis is going to deal with is the following. What is the topic? Rashi points out that the topic has nothing to do with Megillah. We're dealing with the regular halachos of an Ir Choma. What are the halachos of Ir Choma? So among them, as the halacha we already mentioned, that it can only be bought back by the buyer within the first year of sale. And another is the fact that Mitzaroyim have to leave such a walled city. They can't stay in such a walled city, because it has the kedusha of Machane Yisrael, so they have to be sent out from walled cities, even though they could stay in unwalled cities. So Rashi says that this halacha, even though it's quoted here in Masechta Megillah, because broadly speaking, the Masechta Megillah also deals with walled cities with respect to certain halachos, and some of the statements of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi with respect to walled cities are relevant to Megillah, but this one isn't. This one is only with respect to the halachos of Ir Choma, and therefore is really relevant to Masechta Erechin, which is the headquarters of that topic. So Tos is going to dispute Rashi and say that if it's quoted here in Megillah, must be it's relevant to Megillah. So let's read that inside. Pirush HaKuntres. Rashi explains the la'inyan bate ore choma airi, that it's only referring to the regular halachos of walled cities, not with respect to Megillah. With respect to Megillah, it doesn't matter whether the wall goes up before the city is populated or after the city is populated. Either way, you're going to read it on the 15th. Le'inyan bati arachom ha'iri. So first, Tosis produces a proof to Rashi before he's going to dispute Rashi. V'hachi nami mashma mida'aisi kra. And so too is implied from the fact that the Gemara brings a pasuk. D'chiyimkar. Quotes a pasuk that Beis Moshav Ir Choma, we quoted before, and that implies that it's talking about that context. The pasuk wouldn't necessarily prove Megillah. So Tosas is going to come back to that when he's going to insist it is about Megillah to explain how the pasuk has anything to do with Megillah. Tosas is troubled by some kashas on Rashi that strongly imply that it's dealing with Megillah too. Bakasha, number one, Dim Kane. If so, be'erachin havalei la'ashas lemisni gabeha detani sha'ar dinei debate orechom. that the Gemara should have stated this statement, this halachic teaching of Rabbi Shimon Levi, in Erechin, together with all the other halachas of Bat Yerachom. That's where the headquarters is. What is it doing randomly here in Masechta Megillah? Unless it has to do with Megillah. For Od Kasha, Kasha number two. Dim Kain, Havale Lameimar, the phraseology should have said, Havale Lameimar, Nidon Keore HaChatzerim, the Shayach Gabaihu. It should have used the phrase Oreyachatzerim that is relevant to them. What is Tosas referring to? Because the full quote, as you see in the Divrei Maskil of Tosas, is Krach Sheyashav Levesofu Kaf, right? That you have a walled city that was first populated, only then the wall went up. So that is like a kfar. Now the term kfar is a Megillah term, because we have Krach, the walled city who reads on the 15th. We have Ir, which is the regular, biggish kind of unwalled city, which reads on the 14th. Then we have Kfar that backs up to the Monday or the Thursday, the Yom HaKnisa, as the first Mishnah points out. That's the term that's used here. But how is an unwalled city consistently referred to in the context of the unique halacha? That when you sell a house in a walled city, you only have a year to redeem it. And let's contrast that. When you sell a house in an unwalled city in Eretz Yisrael, you could redeem it from the get-go, all the way till Yovel when it goes back for free. It's even better than a field. When it comes to selling a field in Eretz Yisrael, when Yovel is practiced, so the first 2 years, you cannot redeem it. The seller cannot buy it back. But after the 2 years, he has the right to redeem it until Yovel. Each year, the price goes down. When it comes to an unwalled city, when you sell a house, so then you could redeem it all the way till Yovel. You don't have that two-year restriction. When it comes to a walled city, so suddenly it's reversed. When you sell a house in a walled city, you only have a year to redeem it. After that, you cannot. So that house in an unwalled city is referred to by the Torah, and hence by the Mishnayos and Gemaras to deal with it, as Orei HaChatzerim, not as a kfar, not even just as ordinary ear. So that's what Tosis asks. If indeed we're dealing with the context of regular walled cities with respect to the halachos of Yovel, it should have called it, if the wall fails in becoming a halachic wall, if you will, because it was put up too late after the people lived there already, it should have used the term Orei HaChatzerim rather than kfar. Old Kasha again, Tosas Dim Kain Havle Lameimar, Havle Lomar. It should have said Nidon Ka'orei HaChatzerim rather than Nidon Kikfar, just turns to the language that would be more appropriate if we're dealing with those halachos. Ishayach Gabaya, which is relevant there. The fact that it used the term Kfar implies that we're dealing with Megillah. So again, the two Kashas, what's it doing here? Number two, why did it use the term Kfar? So the implication is that indeed it is talking about Megillah. So that's what Tosas says. Two lines up from where it gets wide. L'chein Nira. Therefore, it appears not like Rashi. The La'inyan Megillah Amairi, that indeed is referring to Megillah as well. And then you have an unwalled city, a walled city where the wall went up too late after the city was populated already. So it does, they do not read the Megillah on the 15th. They read it like a kfar. Okay, I don't think Tosafot's going to deal with this. We're showing him debate. Does it really mean a kfar? It means they back up to the Yom HaKnisa, to Monday or Thursday, or does it mean like an ear that they read on the 14th? That detail won't get into, but minimally that it's not like a krach, it's not like a walled city. The Inyan the Megillah Mairi, Mikol Makom, my Sikra, nonetheless, the Gemara brings a pasuk to recall one of the proof that Tosis brought to Rashi is the fact that it brought a pasuk. What does the pasuk have to do with Megillah? The pasuk has to do with the unique halachos of selling the house in the times of Yovel. So that's what Tosas now comes to answer and deflect that proof that Rashi has. Mikom mekom ma'isi kra tichiyimkar of kiyimkar la'ashmeinan, to inform us, to teach us, the choma de masninan gabi Megillah bichi hai gavna de mahani gabi orei choma, that the wall that is taught about concerning Megillah that you read on the 15th is Bichai Gavnas, in exactly that case, the Mahani that's effective, Gabi Orechoma, concerning the regular halachos of Orechoma, concerning how long you could buy it back. The Hainu, namely, Hukaf Ulebesof Yoshav, where the wall went up first and only then was it populated. Kiddusiv, as it quotes the Pasuk, Beis Moshav Irchoma. The mashma, with the implication being, shenes yashev betocha choma, that the yishuv came only after the wall was up. What Tosafot seems to be driving at is that this is an example of a principle that the Gemara has throughout Shas, of kol the tikkun rabbanon, kein deraisa tikkun. That generally rabbinic laws are patterned to Torah laws. So yes, the pasuk doesn't directly prove anything about Megillah. But all things being equal, the chachamim would pattern the rules of wall with respect to Megillah after Torah parallels. So we have a Torah parallel here concerning the laws of repurchase in the times that there's a yovel, that you can only repurchase it during the first year. And we have the definition of a walled city there is where the wall has to go up before the settlement develops. So too concerning Megillah, the Chacham ordained the days of Mordechai and Esther, they ordained it came to Raisa, like that parallel halacha, which exists already in before the days of Mordechai and Esther, that a wall is considered a walled city only where the wall went up before the population and not afterward. Okay, continuing in the Tosis. So now Tosis, after attacking Rashi and giving his own shot, now himself has to deal with a different kasha. So let's first see the kasha, and then we'll make an interesting comment in terms of defending Rashi. So second wide line, a few words in. Vim Tomar, that if you're gonna, they ask the following kasha, lekamon, later on in Megillah Daf Hey Mabez, just 2 pages away, Amrinan, we say, the Tveria, Sheyama Chomosa, right? The geography of Tveria, of old Tveria, till this day have part of it, even in New Tveria, but the city adjoins the famous Yam Kinneret, right? Which in the Gemara is referred to as a Yam Ginosar. So we have the Yam Kinneret that is one side of the city. And then they would have had three walls around the other sides, but they didn't bother putting up a wall near the Yam Kinneret because it's basically doesn't really have access to the ocean, so the enemy wouldn't be able to attack from the Yam. So they didn't put up a wall. Aminan the Tveria sheyam that the Yam, so to speak, the on one side is its wall. Avagaf de ein la din orichomo, even though it doesn't have a halacha of orichomo with respect to the laws of sail during Yovel, because there you would actually need physical walls, not just like a geographical block of a sea. Mikol makom, korin es haMegillah b'tesvav. You read the Megillah on Tesvav. Dehei mukafin choma. Because they're considered the equivalent of being surrounded by a wall. Kevan de Migniah me oivim, because it is protected from the enemies. Okay, let's give a little background on that Gemara. The Gemara points out, think of the Amora Chizkiah, that he read the Megillah in Tveria on the 14th and the 15th, a practice that is done even nowadays. Question about would he make a bracha at all? He make a bracha on the 14th because it's Rov Olam. Okay, so in other words, we consider Tveria to be a suffix. Tosis doesn't elaborate on that here because he's saying it briefly, but we consider Tveria to be a suffix whether it's considered a walled city or not a walled city with respect to Megillah. Now, what is the suffix? So the Gemara points out that in this is the way the Mefarshim elaborate that in the Megillah, it speaks about the prazim, the open cities. And the open cities, they read on the 14th. And then the Gemara earlier had a diuk, that from the fact that the prazim read on the 14th, so a diuk that the non-prazim, meaning the ones that have a wall around it, doesn't say it explicitly, but it's an inference, so they don't read on the 14th. Well, what's the other day? The other only other day is the 15th, because it speaks about celebrating Purim on the 14th and the 15th. So the unwalled cities, the prazim read on the 14th, the walled cities read on the 15th. So the Gemara now has a chakira, if you will. Let's analyze what is the purpose of a wall. So a wall does two things. It covers the city, that is not visible, that's called michsia, and it protects the city, that's called migniah. So depending on which definition you take of what a wall does, so that's going to determine whether or not Tveria is considered to be a walled city. If you go with the idea of Migniah, that it's protected from the enemies, well, it is protected from the enemies. The whole reason they didn't build a wall on the side of the Yam, of the Kinneret, is because the enemies couldn't enter from there. So it is Migniah. So if that's the criterion for a walled city, then you should be able to read it on the 15th like any other walled city. But if, on the other hand, the criterion for a walled city is Michsia, that has to be covered, well, shielded, if you will, from outside view. So on the fourth side, at the Yam Kinneret, presumably I guess on the east flank of the city, it's not Mechsia. So if that would be the criterion of a walled city, you would not be able to read the Megillah and in Tveria on the 15th. You read it like a regular city on the 14th. So the Gemara treats that as a suffix, whether it depends on Michsia, it depends on Mignia, covering or defense, and therefore Rechizkia read it on the 14th and the 15th as a suffix. And so Tosis points out that we see from here, that from Tveria, that even though for sure, it's actually the Gemara quotes that from Erechin, for sure when it comes to the halacha of regular Batei Erechoma, that you can only buy it back within the year, and presumably the same for the halacha of Metzora, that you send the Metzora out, there you need four walls surrounded on all sides. It's not good enough to have, if you will, a technical geographical block. They derive from a pasuk that has to have real chomot. So what do we see from here? That the Gemara is distinguishing between the definition of wall with respect to Megillah, raising a serious possibility that maybe you would read the Megillah on the 15th, even though it doesn't have walls on all the sides. But with respect to regular halachas of Arichom in terms of sale, you definitely need four walls. So now Tosfos continues, three wide lines down. The Hemukafin Choma, meaning the Tveria is considered Mukafin Choma, cave in the Mignia Meovim. Again, Tosis quoting one angle of the question of that Gemara. Cave in the Mignia Meovim, even though it's not covered, but it's Mignia Meovim, and that's enough of an angle to raise at least a doubt that maybe you should be reading it on the 15th. Hachanami Hayalanu Lomar. So too, or here too, we should have said, that if you populate the city first and then you put the wall up, that's not considered a wall with respect to the halachas of Yovel, but it seems to have both criteria of wall with respect to Megillah. Cave and the Michsia Mignia. Where is Tosfos getting the terminology from that Gemara of the famous base, which we elaborated on, just to briefly summarize now. That here you have both criteria, even better than Tveria. Tveria has Mignia, it's protected from the enemies because the enemies can't get in from the Yam. Cannot get in from the Yam. But it's not Michsia because one side is open. But when you have a wall that went up after the city was populated, so the walls, bottom line, are covering it. That's Michsia. And the Mignia, they protect. So even though there's a technicality that the walls went up too late, and that technicality disqualifies it from the lochus of the sales with respect to Yovel, but it should not disqualify it with respect to the laws of Megillah, since we see from the model of Tveria that Megillah walls, if you will, have different criteria that are looser standards than they are with respect to the laws of Orichoma. So that's Tosus's Bam Kasha on his own Shita. How could I say that Hukav Lavsov Yoshav versus Yoshav Lavsov Hukav is relevant also to Megillah? We see from Tveria that it should not be, because bottom line, you have a wall that both covers and protects. So that's what Rishonim point out, the Ran, I think, points out. And this is an interesting structure in terms of when Tosis quotes Rashi, and then he gives he asks on Rashi, and then he rejects Rashi and gives another pshat, and then he proceeds to ask a kash on his pshat. So structurally, that very well could be, that kash on his pshat, that could be what motivated Rashi to not say the pshat of Tosis. So that's indeed what the Ran says, in order to defend Rashi, that Rashi, more so than the technicality, they quoted a pasuk, as Tosis himself points out, that pasuk is not the fact that they quoted a pasuk is not such a proof to Rashi, because it could be Kain Daraiso, it's pretty similar to the Torah law where we're applying it to Megillah. What Rashi's bothered by is a Gemara that's just too daf away, and there the Gemara says clearly with respect to Tveria that the definition of wall is not necessarily the definition of wall with respect to Ori Choma, so why should the technicality of when the wall goes up be relevant to Megillah? So that seems to be exactly what motivated Rashi. But Tosis is very convinced from the fact, the two kashas he quoted earlier, the fact that it's quoted here on Gilma Bays in Masechta Megillah, and not in Erechin, and the fact that it used the term Kfar rather than Bate Chatzerim. So Tosis is convinced that it's relevant to Megillah, so he has to give a chiluk, a distinction, between the analysis of the Gemara with respect to Tveria, where we loosen the standards with respect to walls, but the analysis of the Gemara here with respect to when the wall went up, that there we are not going to loosen the standards with respect to walls, whether we're dealing with Arichoma or we're dealing with Megillah. So Tosfos the third line, toward the end, Vishlomar. Here's the answer to his kasha that he had from Tveria to defend the position that hukaf will himself yashav indeed is a criterion when it comes to Megillah. Yeshlomar. The Shani Tveria. Tveria is different. The Chevan the Chazinan, the Hekif Yam, Mahani, Kehekif Choma. But since we see that the surrounding of the sea, of the Yam, of the lake, is effective, Kehekif Choma, that it's considered like a wall, even though it's not an actual wall, Legabe Megillah. So here the Mefarshim point out there are all kinds of girsos here. So let me state what I think is the simplest pshat, even though the Tosa Rosh actually has a different pshat. But the simplest conceptual pshat, which we'll go with now, is we're going to keep the girsa we have now. The Mahani Kehekif, put the comma after the word Choma. The Chayv and the Chazin and the Hekif Yam Mahani Kehekif Choma, comma. So that's what one of the Achronim in the back, the Mitzvah Esam quotes. So with respect to the laws of Erevin, if you will, sometimes a body of water is considered like a fourth wall. Not going to get involved in the details now, when yes, when no, but sometimes it's considered like a fourth wall. In other words, we have in a halachic world, the wonderful wide world of halacha, the WWH, there is such an idea that sometimes a sea can be considered a wall. The Hekif Yam Mahani Kekif Choma, comma. Legabe Megillah gam kein dinhu sheyikru haMegillah v'tesvav. Regarding Megillah, it's a rabbinic law, so it's not a Torah law. So as long as we find some area in the Torah, again according to the Mitzvah Esan, it's referring to Erevin, where we find that a sea can be considered like a wall, gam kein dinhu. It's also logical sheyikru haMegillah b'tesvav, that we should read the Megillah on Tesvav as if it were a full-fledged walled city. Sharei Hekif Shalah Kodem LeYeshuva, because the wall went up before the settlement. Bahavi Kishar Hekif Demahani Bevate Orechoma, and it's like any other walled city that is effective with respect to the other laws of Bate Orechoma. Avol Yoshev Lebesof Hukaf, when it comes to a situation of the reverse case where it was first settled and the wall went up. Lomatsinu Bishum Makom Dechashiv Chomeshalah. We don't find in any place, in any area of halacha, according to the Mitzvah Esan, right? You don't find it in any area of halacha. Not in Erevin, and not in Yovel, and not in a Torah law, not in a rabbinic law. We don't find in any other area of halacha, the Choshev Chomesh law, that wall is considered a wall. The only discussion that we have about walls that go up with respect to when the population was settled is the discussion in Erechin. That if the population came first, then the wall came, it's not considered a wall. If the wall came first and then the population came, it is considered a wall. So the only model we have, going back to the principle we had earlier, called the Tikkun Rabbanan came to Raisa Tikkun, any rabbinic law is patterned after a Torah law. So we don't find anywhere in the Torah that a wall that went up after the population is there is considered a wall. So even with respect to the laws of Megillah, which is a rabbinic law, they still kept that halacha in place. With respect to the Yam, so even though with respect to the laws of Yovel, the sea is not considered a wall, but with respect to other areas of halacha, it is considered a wall. Again, the Mitzvah based on quotes from Erevin, that is considered a wall. So that's good enough for a Megillah. Okay, I'll briefly mention the other girsa of the Rashash, and as it happens, he was mechavin to Tosa Rosh, that to read it slightly differently, the first line, Yesh Lomar, the Shani Tveria, the Chevin, the Chazin, and the Hekif Yam Mahani, Kehekev Choma Legabe Migniya, not the word Megillah, but the word Migniya, that the seawall is helpful with respect to protection. So Gam Kein Dinu Sheyikra Megillah Be Tesvav Sherei Hekev Shalah, etc. That you should be able to read it on the 15th. I don't really understand that girsa. I have to admit, because are we making it parallel to Torah laws, or we are not? Or are we inventing a new halacha? If we're going to make it parallel to Torah laws, then it should be parallel to the Orechom with respect to Yovel. And if we're not going to make it parallel to Torah laws, then the Yam should be able to be a wall, and the order shouldn't matter. So I don't really understand that girsa, even though it has a basis already we've shown him, namely in the Tosas of Rosh. So I prefer the Mitzvah Esan, which actually works with our version, that is borrowing from Erevin, although the weak point of that is he doesn't quote Erevin. Okay, four lines in the bottom. Now Tosas has five lines in the bottom of the Tosas. We now move to a new kasha. Okay, so just to briefly review, that's a little bit of a mouthful there. So Tosas assumes that the wall has to go up before the population. He has a kasha from Tveria that you see from Tveria that we're not following the rules of Ari Choma, because there we're allowing a sea to be the fourth wall, and that's not true with respect to the laws of Yovel of Ari Choma. So Tosas answers that there's a distinction that the sea can count as a wall with respect to Megillah, but not with respect to order, because we don't really find anywhere else that the order can be broken. And we pointed out that very kasha could very well be what motivated Rashi primarily to limit Rav Shimon Levi's statement to Ari Choma having nothing to do with Megillah. Okay, Vim Tomar Tosas now asks again, five lines in the bottom. Vim Tomar leKamon vePirkin. Later on in our perek, the Kamar Asher Lo Choma Prat Lishur Eger. Okay, the word's a little complicated, but a straightforward concept that if you have, it's actually somewhat relevant to Yericho, where Rachav's house was actually part of the wall. So Gemara is describing that you have a series of homes that are built in a circle, and they're adjacent to each other. So there's no separate wall besides the homes themselves. Shur Eger literally means shur is a wall. Eger or agar, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce that. It's referring to the rooftops. So the roof is like the top of the wall, and the outer wall of the buildings is the wall. There's no separate wall. The outer wall of the houses are the wall. So the Gemara derives from a pasuk with respect to the laws of Yovel, Asher lo choma, that has a wall. So the implication being as a separate wall, not that the homes are the wall, but that the wall itself is the wall, set besides the homes. So in such a case, it would not have the halacha of the whole Yovel idea of selling and so on and so forth. Pirish she agrot chomot shelo, that the again literally the rooftops, but the outer wall as well. She agrot chomot shelo kegon, namely shabatim midabokim yachad, that the homes are stuck together, be eagle in a round circle. And they are like a wall around the city, and that is not considered a wall with respect to the laws of Yovel of the selling the first year. So now Tos is Akasha within the laws of Batei Ari Choma. Since our Gemara has a pasuk, it's based on a pasuk, but it has a halacha based on a pasuk that the wall has to go up before the population. If the population came before the wall, then that wall is disqualified. So Tosas now asks, why do we need a separate drasha, a shelo choma, to necessitate an extra wall besides the outer wall of the homes? But homes imply population. So let's see that inside. Lama likra, three solid lines up toward the end of the line. Lama likra, why do we need a pasuk? Tepik lay, let us derive this idea that the outer walls of the homes can serve as a wall from Allah, we already know. The havale yoshav l'besof hukaf. If we're dealing with outer walls of homes, that means they're already homes. If they're homes, they're already population. If there's population, so then even if there wouldn't be a separate disqualification of like a doubling up where the outer wall is the wall, you need a separate wall, even if there wouldn't be such halacha. But if you have homes, I mean, there's population first. So then the wall came after the population because they built the homes and they're living in them. And then they keep building more and more and more and more homes. So that means that the wall, which is the outer wall of the homes, that's becoming the wall of the city. And that is going up after the population is already there. So that's the equivalent. Havalei yoshav l'besof hukaf. Shevelo nigmara choma sa'ir, ad she nigmaru kol abatim. Right? You have house number one goes up, the wall's not done. House number two goes up, the wall's not done. Then you're building the homes around the circle here. When is the wall there? Only when the last home is there. When the last home is there, so the city is fully populated. And even before that, it's the majority populated. So you have a populated city, and the wall only was completed, in other words, went up effectively after the population. And we learned from the statement of Shoben Levi here that population first and wall later is not qualified as a wall, even if it would be a separate wall. So why do we need a separate drasha to tell you that you need a separate wall? If it's not a separate wall, then it's the walls of the homes. By definition, the population came first before the wall, And you don't need a separate drasha to tell you that that wall is disqualified. That's Tosas's kasha. Yishlomar, Tosas's answer. Dekra aslas sheminan. Tosas basically gives an okimta, some kind of special case where there's no population first. Dekra aslas sheminan. The pasuk is coming to teach you that filo hecha de kimlan, even in a situation where we have established and we know with a for fact shalodor adam sham ad shenigmru kolavatim. And so, Baruch Hashem, Eretz Yisrael is being built up, so they keep building neighborhoods and neighborhoods and neighborhoods and neighborhoods. So they build a whole neighborhood, and no one lives there. At first, they have to build up the buildings and finish all the buildings, and only then do they populate it. So even if we know that that's what happened in a certain city, where they built all the walls and all the homes all around the city, and no one moved in. And in that kind of case, we're dealing with a situation where the outer walls of the homes also double as the wall of the city. Because they're right near each other, and no one lives there yet. All the homes were finished, and only after all the walls homes are finished, then people moved in. So in that kind of case, you don't have the disqualification of population first, wall second, because the wall went up first, because the homes were empty. But nevertheless, lo choshev hekif, that is not considered a wall, because it's not a separate wall, it's the wall of the home. So Tosis's kasha was presuming the normal case that people are building homes and dwelling in them, and then they're building another home and another family is going to dwell in it. And the wall's only going to get done once most of the city's already populated. At the time that the whole city's populated, then the wall is going to be complete. So then he had a kasha, because why do you need the drasha to tell you disqualify a separate wall? But it's Yoshev Lipsov Huka. First it was populated, then the wall came. So Tosis gives an Okimta. That was a ghost town at first, and then the wall went up by definition as a result of the homes, and then they populated it, and nonetheless it's disqualified. A shalom chamas, have a separate wall, and the walls of the outer wall of the homes can't count. So now Tosis, so that's the second part of the Tosis. First he attacks Rashi, then he defends himself, attacks Rashi, develops his own view, and then defends himself, and then he has a third part where he has an internal contradiction or a superfluousness of the statement of Shulchan Levi with respect to another Gemara, and now he just has a very fascinating additional comment of how many people are in this Yoshav Lebesov Hukah for Hukah for Lebesov Yoshav wall with respect to Megillah. So Tosas has the following comment: V'tzarech Lomar. That which it states that a city that was first populated and then the wall went up, that it's as if there's no wall, therefore it's considered like a hamlet, and therefore would read the Megillah on the 14th or even earlier in the Yom HaKnisa, on Monday or Thursday. Ma'iri, it's referring to a case, the Leka Yud Batlonim. That you don't have 10 people, 10 minionaires, the people who are not working, so they're always available for a minion. Why? How do you know it's talking about that they don't have Yud Batlonin? The I Yesham Asara Batlonin. My Gora Mea Yoros Gedolos Tahavo Biyudalit. So Tosis, we noted this earlier at the Rishonim, we have a debate about this. Tosis taking the word kfar at face value, that it literally means it's a hamlet. In other words, that they're not going to read the Megillah on the 14th. Unless that happens to be a Monday or Thursday, they're going to back it up to the Yom HaKnisa. So Tosis points out, what kind of case are we talking about? Because Tosis earlier, it's a little complex here, Tosis interlinked. We had the previous Tosis, also the Maskel Krach, but that dealt with the Batlonim. So Tosis was of the opinion, against some other Rishonim, Tosis was of the opinion that dealing with a real Krach, a real walled city that has a Lacha reading on the 15th, you don't need Yud Batlonim. You don't need the 10 minioners, if you will. That you only need for an ear. And that's why he took the Gemara that said that you need 10 in a krach. He took the word krach to not really be in a walled city, just to mean a major metropolis. So Tosis points out that in the context of Yoshev L'Sof Hukav, or Hukav L'Sof Yoshev, so it has to be that in the case that the case we're dealing with in both of those situations is where you don't have 10. So if it's Hukah, Philip Yosef, Yoshav, so then it's a full walled city. And the fact that you don't have 10 doesn't bother you, because Tosfos is of the opinion that not having 10 is not a disqualification when it comes to a full walled city. But when it's Yoshav Elabasov Hukaf, when the wall is not valid based on the parallel to Yovel, so then the lack of 10 is now going to put you in a state where you're not like an ear anymore because you don't have 10. So if you don't have 10, you're like a kfar. Again, the words of Tosfos. Tzorach lomar, the hoda kamar nidon kikfar, mayri deleka yud batlonin, in a case of yashav lebesof hukaf, where the wall doesn't count, the fact that the Gemara is calling it like a kfar must be because you don't have 10. And as Rabbi Shua ben Levi said earlier, that a city that doesn't have 10 batlonim is considered like a kfar. The leka yud batlonin. The iye shama sara, Tosis proves this by negation, that if there would be 10 people there, so then when it has hukaf lebesof yoshav, the fact that you read on the 15th, great, because it has 10 and the wall's valid. But when you don't have a hukaf lebesof yoshav, when they first settle it and then the wall goes up, so iyeshem asara batlonin amai gora meyaros gedolos. So why are you calling it a kfar and you're backing up the Yom HaKnisa? Let it be like a regular big city. The hava will be a dalit. So Tosus, unlike some other Rishonim, takes the word kfar at face value. And the fact that we're calling it a kfar indicates that it must be that we're dealing with a less than 10. So When there is 10, so then when the wall went up after the population, you'll read on the 15th. And when the wall went up, let's try again. When the wall went up first and then the population came, so then you have 10, you'll read on the 15th. And when the wall went up after the population, the wrong direction, but you still have 10, so you can read on the 14th. It's not going to be kikfar, it's going to be ki'ir. But since the Gemara calls it kikfar, it must be it's talking about a case where it's less than 10. It's less than 10. So then, less than 10, if the wall went up first, then the population came, you'll read it on the 15th. As Tosfos Lishitoso in the previous Tosfos says that when there's a full wall, the lack of 10 doesn't bother us, you still read it on the 15th. But if the wall went up after the population, when the wall doesn't count, so then, we're dealing with something that's not even like an ear, because you don't have 10 batlanin, as Rav Shuvan Levi said, that downgrades it to a kfar. So just noting that the Rush and other Rishonim point out that itself serves as an additional proof to the premise, to the thesis of the previous Tosis. That kind of analysis, Mamanoshech, if we're dealing with where there are 10 in this kind of city, so why, when the wall went up too late, are we calling it a kfar? It should be like an ear. And if we're dealing with less than 10, so why are you reading it on the 15th when the wall went up at the right time before the population? So it must be that having less than 10 is not a disqualification when it comes to a full walled city where the wall went up before the population. Kilomar Beis, Tosri Maslov, Atanya, Rebelez, Rebiosi, Omer, Vachule. We give a brief review of the context that Tosfos is commenting on and a little background in another Gemara that's necessary in order to fully understand this Tosfos. Rishuv and Levi has said, Krach Shechorei v'lebesof Yoshav Nidon Kikrach. Simply speaking, dealing with a walled city that was destroyed, meaning the wall was destroyed, and as a result, the inhabitants were all chased out, l'lebesof Yoshav, and then it was inhabited again, and presumably at that point, they built the walls up again. Again, to be consistent with what we had earlier, the walls would have to go up before the population came in. Hukaf l'besof Yoshav. Nidon kikrach. So it's considered like a walled city, even though it took a break in terms of being destroyed in the middle. So the Gemara had asked that this can't be talking about where the walls were destroyed, that there were walls which were destroyed, because there the implication is that we needed to be repopulated and the walls to be rebuilt. Again, leaving aside the order, the proper order, we needed to be the walls to be rebuilt and repopulated in order for it to be considered once again like a walled city to read on the 15th. So now the Gemara quotes the line that Tosfos is commenting on. We have a braisa that Eliezer of Yossi comments based on a drasha of Shalom Choma concerning the Ori Choma, referring to a Walled city and selling the house in the walled city, as we said earlier, that you have a year to redeem it. So the word lo is spelled in a very curious way, lamed vav aleph. So it has components of both that has a wall, lamed vav, and a component of the fact that it doesn't have a wall, lamed aleph, which is no. So we have a drasha. On a pshat level, we read it as lo choma, that it has a wall. It's a walled city. But on the drash level, af b'shein lo achshav, that even though it currently does not have a wall, but as long as it had a wall in the past, it is considered a walled city with respect to the laws of Arichoma. And again, in this context, with respect to the laws of Megillah. And this is the famous halacha that applies even nowadays, that when you have a walled city, the only one that's considered certain nowadays in terms of geographical location is Yerushalayim. That even though the walls of Yerushalayim, the old city, are no longer fully there, at least here David, if you will, south Yerushalayim. So, but it still has the halacha of reading the Megillah on the 15th, as long as it had a wall beforehand. Mimos Yoshua ben Nun, from the days of Yoshua ben Nun, which was walled then, even though it doesn't have a wall, as long as there was a wall in the days of Yoshua ben Nun. So, how could Rabbi Shimon ben Levi insist that if it was a walled city which was destroyed and then re-walled, that then you read the Megillah on the 15th, but even if it wasn't re-walled, you would read the Megillah on the 15th, based on Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yossi's statement that it doesn't have to have a wall with respect to the laws of Arichoma, and presumably the same for Megillah. So the Gemara gives a whole different shot to Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, that's talking about whether 10 people that are required in order the batlanim, in order to read the Megillah, so that it's chorev from them, meaning that you no longer have 10 minyaners that are ready to make the minyan. Okay, more about that later in the next Tosis. So Tosis within the Havamina and the Kasha from Rabbi Lezer Yossi has the following Kasha, that within the original understanding of Rabbi Shimon Levi, they were dealing with a walled city, the wall was destroyed and it was rebuilt. So we have a diuk, why do you need the wall to read? The implication is that you read it on the 15th because the wall was rebuilt. Had it not been rebuilt, you wouldn't read it on the 15th. Isn't that against Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi's statement that the presence of the wall currently doesn't matter with respect to the rules of Arichoma and the same with respect to Megillah? So Tosis is the following Kasha. V'im Tomar. Adem Moses lay me Rabbi Eliezer v'saye me Rabbanan t'fligi alei v'savri t'kedusha rishona kitz l'shata v'lo kish l'asif labo. So this opens for us a whole new vista. If you didn't get a chance to learn, did or did not get a chance to learn this Gemara yet, this Gemara, as the margin points out, the statement of Rabbi Lazar of Yossi is quoted from a little later on. So it's a Gemara in Erechin, to be sure, the headquarters of Orechoma. But it's a Gemara later on Yudam Beis. The Gemara there, in a tangential fashion, a lot of the end of the first parak deals with a series of Ein Bains dealing with other topics that have nothing to do with Megillah per se. So it deals with the issue of what's called Kedusha Rishona, Kitch L'Shata, Kitch L'Sed Lavo, or Lo Kitch L'Shata. Kitch L'Shata, or Lo Kitch L'Sed Lavo. What does that mean? So it means both with respect to Yerushalayim and the sanctity of the Makom HaMikdash and the sanctity of the walled cities and the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, so that sanctification, which took place in the days of Yoshua, that with respect to Eretz Yisrael, and the sanctification of Yerushalayim took place in the days of David and Shlomo, and the sanctification of Arichoma took place in the days also of Yoshua. But, so it endowed it with its halachos. Eretz Yisrael got holy with respect to laws of Trumas, Mais, or Shemitah. The Har Bayis became holy with respect to the laws of Mikdash and all of the special halachos there. And Orichoma became holy with respect to the halachos of Yovel, the first year of Yovel's, and with respect to the fact that you throw out the Mitzorah. So those are unique halachos that requires a Kiddush. The Jewish people have to sanctify it in order for those halachos to take effect. So the Gemara points out, but it's quite possible that a Churban, when the Nebuchadnezzar overran Eretz Yisrael, destroyed the Mikdash, destroyed the Arichoma, conquered Eretz Yisrael, that might have removed the Kedusha from all of those, and therefore their unique halachos would no longer apply. So that model of assuming that Churban and the conquest of Eretz Yisrael removes the Kedusha, is called Kitsha Lishata, that Yeshua sanctified it for the immediate generations. Velo Kitsha Lasid Lavo, he did not sanctify it forever, meaning that conquest could undo the Kedusha. However, that's a view of one Tana, one group of Tanoim and Amoraim. There's another group of Tanoim and Amoraim who hold that no, Kitsha Lashata V'Kitsha Lasid Lavo, that the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael that was endowed by Yeshua, and the sanctity of the Orichoma that was endowed by Yeshua, and the sanctity of Har Habayis and Yerushalayim that was done by David and Shlomo, so that's Kitsha Lashata V'Kitsha Lasid Lavo. Forever and ever, and conquest does not change that. A little more background than that, just to help spell it out a little better. If Yeshua's Kedusha was eternal, then there was no need for when the Jews came back in the days of Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah to re-sanctify, because it was already holy, because Nebuchadnezzar did not succeed in removing the Kedusha. If, on the other hand, Yeshua's Kedusha was only temporary in the sense that conquest would remove it, so then you have to reanalyze when Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah they came back, it's usually referred pinned on Ezra, when he had to re-sanctify it. So then you could have a further analysis. Did his re-sanctification, was that forever? Was that Kitsha Lashata V'Kitsha Lasid Lavo? Or was his sanctification similar to Yeshua that would also be nullified by the conquest of the Romans? So that is a further discussion, both in the Gemara and the Rishonim and a famous Rambam about this, which we're not going to fully get involved now. That's, first of all, I don't know the whole topic. And second of all, it's certainly way beyond the scope of this forum. So the Gemara on Dav Yud Amud Beis, in this simple reading of the Gemara, quoted the statement of Rabbi Eliezer b'Rabbi Yossi as what's the statement of the fact that you don't currently need a wall. Now, not having the wall is usually not a fluke where the wall just falls. Usually the context of a wall falling is in the context of destruction, of Churban. So Rabbi Eliezer b'Rabbi Yossi is saying that even though it currently doesn't have a wall, it still has the halachos of an Ir Choma. So the Gemara puts that together with the approach of Kitsha Lashata V'Kitsha Lasid Lavo, that Yoshua, confused Rabbi Shoban Levi, the Amora, that Yoshua, the great Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of Klal Yisrael, that when he sanctified it forever, and that no falling of the walls, namely no destruction, will succeed in removing that Kedusha. So Rabbi Eliezer of Yossi would be of the approach that Yeshua's Kedusha was eternal. The opponents of Rabbi Eliezer of Yossi would hold that no, the wall is crucial. What do you mean the wall is crucial? Maybe not necessarily the actual wall, but what the wall represents, that it was not destroyed by the enemy. But if the enemy destroyed and conquered and took it over, so then the Kedusha would be removed, and then it would not have the Halacha of Orichoma. So the Chachamim of Rabbi Eliezer of Yossi would hold that Yeshua's sanctity was temporary, that Yehoshua's sanctity was temporary. Rabbi Eliezer of Yossi would hold that it's permanent. So within that background, so now this short little tosis, but it really speaks miles, it speaks volumes, asks as follows. Tomar, Ademos v'sleimer Rabbi Eliezer, instead of attacking from Rabbi Eliezer, against the first understanding of Rabbi Shoban Levi. Again, what was the first understanding of Shoban Levi? That if you have a walled city and the wall was destroyed and it was rebuilt, you could read on the 15th. So the Gemara says, Yishkoyach, you have to rebuild the wall in order for people to read on the 15th. Even without the wall, you can read on the 15th. As is true, we see from Rabbi Eliezer b'Rabbi Yossi. So Tosus asks, instead of attacking from Rabbi Eliezer b'Rabbi Yossi, why don't you bring a proof to Rabbi Shoban Levi from the implied opponents of Rabbi Eliezer of Yossi? May Rabbanan, back to the Tosis, the Pligiale, who argue and maintain that you must have a wall. What do you mean must have a wall? V'savri de Kedusha Rishona Kitsha Lashata V'lo Lasid Lavo, that Churban will undo the Kedusha. So that could be exactly Rabbi Shoban Levi's meaning, that when you have a walled city, and then it was destroyed, then it was rebuilt, oh, now you read the Megillah on the 15th. But if it wasn't rebuilt, that means it's in a state of Churban. That means the wall does not have any, the city does not have any holiness. So if it doesn't have any holiness, then you're not going to read the Megillah on the 15th. Again, Tosis is making quite an important assumption here that the Kedusha of the city is directly going to impact when you read the Megillah. that if the city has Kedusha, then you're going to read the Megillah on the 15th. And if the city doesn't have Kedusha, sounds like from Tosis, then you're not going to read the Megillah on the 15th. So if you go with the approach of the Chachamim, that the city doesn't have Kedusha, when it's the state of Chorban, so that's exactly the original understanding of Shuv and Levi. You have to rebuild the wall in order to be able to read the Megillah on the 15th. So now Tosis answers via Shlomar. Tel Korchach lo sava Rabbi Shua kirabonan. Of course, Rabbi Shuv and Levi cannot hold like the Rabbanan. We already implied the answer of Tosis in our presentation. The East Savar Karvasayu, because if he would hold like the Rabbanan, namely, that the Kedusha of Yeshua was temporary and that it was abrogated, it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and removed by Nebuchadnezzar. My Mahani, now there's a parenthesis here, we're going to accept the various emendations on the margin, we'll read it in the reverse. My Mahani Hukaf L'Basof Yashav, that Rabbi Shua ben Levi earlier pointed out that when you have the wall comes up earlier, before the settlement, or you could just have the following Girsa, My Mahani Yashav L'Basof. What does it help to have a repopulation together with the wall being rebuilt? Of course, in the right order, where the wall goes up first and the repopulation. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, in the original Havamina of what we're talking about here, has that a previously settled city that was destroyed and rebuilt. You read it on the 15th. What does it help the fact that it was rebuilt? If he holds like the Chachamim, then you need, if everyone, Tosis is assuming that everyone's going to agree, it depends on Kedusha. And if he holds like the Chachamim and the Kedusha of the city is removed by destruction, Imlo Kitcha, Kedusha Shnea, if there's no subsequent sanctity, if you have a walled city that was destroyed and the Kedusha was removed and it was never re-sanctified, even if the city was rebuilt and was repopulated, but who would re-sanctify the city? If there's no re-sanctification of the city, then you can't be reading the Megillah on the 15th. So how could Rabbi Shua ben Levi just glibly state that if you have a walled city that was Kadosh, and then it was destroyed, and then it's repopulated, you're going to read the Megillah on the 15th? But Tosafot seems to be assuming that reading the Megillah depends on Kedusha. And according to the Chachamim, once Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Kedusha of the city, so just rebuilding is not going to help. Who's going to be re-mekadesh it? So thinking about this Tosafot, maybe Ezra was re-mekadesh it. But could be Tosis is assuming that just like the destruction of Nebuchadnezzar took away the Kedusha of Yoshua, so the destruction of Rome would take away the Kedusha of Ezra. Plus, we could be dealing with many cities, as the Gemara points out later, that Ezra just never re-sanctified. Like the Gemara in Daf Yud quotes the Mishnayos and Erechin elsewhere, that there were many cities that were walled cities in the days of Yeshua, they were destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and they were just never re-sanctified by Ezra. So it could be Tosafot talking about those cities. So the straightforward halacha we know is that any walled city from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, you read on the 15th, according to Tosafot, the premise depends on Kedusha. But if it was never re-sanctified, so where's the Kedusha? So that's what Tosafot says, that it must be that Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who has us reading, again, according to the original understanding, has us reading in a walled city. If it's destroyed and rebuilt and re-walled, again, the right order, the wall before the population, and he has us reading the Megillah, it's premised on the fact that it's Kadosh. It's premised on the fact that it's Kadosh. So it must be that he holds like a blessed Rabbi Yossi, that the destruction does not remove sanctity. So that's the Gemara asks. If destruction does not remove sanctity, then you don't even need the wall at all. Right, the fact that the wall is not there presently, as long as there's Kedusha there, you should be able to read it. So that's why the Gemara asked, Shua ben Levi, why are you requiring a rebuilding of the wall? It still has Kedusha, even without the wall, and therefore you should be able to read on the 15th. This is quite a Tosis, because a simple reading of Tosis, if I'm understanding correctly, seems to imply that you need holiness in order to be able to read on the 15th. And that impacts upon a debate in the Rishonim, quoted by the Ran, and La Halacha discussed in the tour, that whether the cities of Chutz Loretz, if they happen to have a very ancient wall, they discussed whether Prague was matched that criterion or not, if it happened to have a wall all the way back from the days of Yeshua, would you read on the 15th, outside of Shushan itself, would you accept the rule? Would you, which you don't need in the days of Yeshua, but if you had some city in some town that was populated in the days of Yeshua, and then whether the walls there or not, would you read the Megillah on the 15th? So Tosfos sounds like no, because it depends on Kedusha. Kedusha could only occur in Eretz Yisrael. The one and only exception would be Shushan. Other Rishonim say yes, that it doesn't depend on Kedusha. So then they would have to analyze this the topic of Tosfos in a different way. Megillah Daf Gimel Amud Beis, the last Tosfos, the Maskil Shechorei Masor Batlanim. Tosfos two parts. First, just as a comment as to what kind of city we're talking about in the Maskanas HaGemara, and then he has a kasha on Rav Shimon Levi's final statement, and he has a teretz as to why it's a chiddush. So first, the comment. Shalohukaf Mimos Yeshua Airi. It's referring to a situation where this is not a real bona fide walled city from the days of Yeshua. Because as Tos said earlier, Devei, the concern in that city that's walled from days of Yeshua ben Nun, Lotzara Chasara, you don't require 10 batlanim. This is something that Tos has pointed out earlier, and Divya Maschil, Krach, She'ein Bo Yud Batlanim, Nidon Kikfar, and we also discussed it in later Tos in that once you have a real walled city, that's the real McCoy, you don't require 10 batlanim to make it into a walled city, and you're going to read it on the 15th. So what are we talking about here? The Maskanas HaGemara is that Rabbi Shimon Levi is dealing with a case where he says a krach shechorev v'achakach yoshav. We're not dealing with a, according to Tosis, we're not dealing with a real walled city here from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Either a walled city after Yeshua ben Nun or just a major metropolis. It's also called a krach, and it's called a krach in the sense that it has the yud batlanim, and because it has yud batlanim, we're going to read it on the 14th because it doesn't have a lach of a walled city either because no wall or it was after the days of Yeshua. So you have a 14th reading, and then the Yud Batlanim, let's say, go down to 9 or less. So now you're going to read like a kfar, you're going to back it up to the Yom HaKnisa, Monday or Thursday. And then you get back to Yud, so now we go back to the 14th. So if the real walled city, then it would always be on the 15th, regardless of how many people are in it. So now Tosfos has a kasha, Vim Tomer. What's Rabbi Shimon ben Levi's point in raising the fact that there were originally 10 people in this krach, the second line of Tosfos, toward the middle. My Vim Tomar, my Mahani, what is the effect? How is it effective? Mashaya krach mitchila, the fact that originally was a krach of 10 people. Havalei kfar shenasa krach, shenasyashu sham asara. It should be no worse than a hamlet that had 9 people that originally was reading the Megillah on the Monday or Thursday, backing up to what's called the Yom HaKnisa. And then if it upgraded to have now 10 batlanim, so then it becomes a city. It becomes the equivalent of a major metropolis, even without a wall. But if you read on the 14th, Shanasa Krach, Shanasa Shamasara. So Tosfos could be asking one of two things. Either, minimally, why did Shimon Levi have to add that extra fact that we're dealing with, we had a history that it had 10, went down to 9, went up to 10. Just speak about 9 going to 10. But it could be Tosfos is also asking more. The 9 going up to 10 is a simple case. Why would I think that a city is stuck in Kfarhud forever? If you have a little hamlet and only has nine minyaners, so it's Makdim LeYom HaKnisa because it's not called a city yet. So when it becomes a city, and then you start reading on the 14th. A small town is not doomed to be a small town forever if it eventually rises to become a bigger city. So one could say that Tos is asking that as well. What's the whole chiddush of Rabbi Shimon Levi's din altogether? The past history doesn't seem to bear on it, and once you remove that past history, so 9 going up to 10 is pashut that you would start reading on the 14th. So here's Tos' answer. There's an extra chiddush in the fact that there was a past history. Yeshlomah. Delaravusa nakarachi. To tell us a chiddush, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi chose to speak about the past history of 10. V'lo kfar. I don't have to tell you that concerning a hamlet, Shanasa Krach, that becomes a major metropolis, or the equivalent of a major metropolis that has now 10 batlanim, the Vistama Lekalamechish Shema Yachsru Diurim. That under ordinary circumstances, you don't have to be concerned, there's going to become a ghost town. It has happened in history, but you know, it's not something regular. You don't have to be concerned that Shema Yachsru Diurim, that people are going to start moving away. And you're not going to have minyaners anymore, and then it's no longer going to have the halach of the year to read on the 14th. It's going to have halach of kfar, and then you're going to read in the earlier date of the Monday and Thursday, backing up to the Yom HaKnisa. If all that happened is it went from not having 10 batlanim to having 10 batlanim, you don't have to assume and be afraid of the fact that it's ever going to go down. So you could read on the 14th smoothly. Ela filu zeh shepasku diurim. Even if you have a case where you had a populated area that originally had 10 batlanim, and then pasku diurim, people stopped living there to the extent that you no longer have 10 batlanim, and then it became a hamlet, it became a kfar, and then you start reading backing up to the Yom HaKnisa, afilu zeh shepasku diurim kfar, that the people, it has a history of people moving away, pamachat, already one time in history it already happened. V'salkadaitach, you might think, salkadaitach amina, the ikla mechush, that now we're worried about a pattern, that there's what to be concerned about, shema yifsiku od pamacheres, that they're going to go down from 10 to 9, 8, 7, etc. another time. So you might think that at least rabbinically we should make some kind of decree that you should never read on the 14th here. You should always go to Yom HaKnisa. Otherwise, it's going to be like the stock market, up and down and up and down and up and down. So in order to make the halacha clear that the people shouldn't get confused, just declare it to be a kfar, because this is a very volatile city. The population keeps changing, so just consider it like a kfar and always read in the Yom HaKnisa, so they'll know the halacha. So that's what you might have thought, that you have to worry about volatility, since it already has a past history of going down. So that's what Tosis continues to explain. Afilo achi, that's the chiddush of Rav Shuv and Levi. And nevertheless, Kamash Malan, Rav Shuv and Levi teaches you the loy chashinan, that the past history is no guarantee of future performance or future failure. Just because in the past they started off with 10 batlan and went down to 9, but then it got back again, you don't have to assume that it's going to be cyclical, that they're going to lose the population again. And therefore, you switch the status. You started out reading the 14th. You went to reading to the Yom HaKnisa like a kfar. Then you're going to read on the 14th again. And you don't have to assume to make a gzeira de rabbanan that let's keep it as a kfar because lest it the population go down again.